This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-anbiya wal mursaleen, Nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathiran amma ba'd. Sami, can you read for me inshallah ta'ala where we reached inside the book Aqidatul Raziyin? طيب. Yesterday I was teaching the exact same topic in Nottingham when we was going through the kitab أصول السنة للإمام الحميدي. Firstly, إخواني, this shows you that how the عقيدة of أهل السنة والجماعة, it doesn't differ. When you go back to all the books in عقيدة, whether it's عقيدة الواسطية, whether it is the عقيدة of Imam Ibn Abi Dawood in Isha'iyya, whether it is Ibn Taymi rahimahullah ta'ala in Islamiyya, whether it is the teacher of Imam al-Bukhari, Imam al-Humaydi, whether it is the aqidah of Imam al-Bukhari, all of them come in agreement when it comes to these matters of al-aqidah. When it comes to these matters of al-aqidah. طيب. So Imam al-Humaydi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in his kitab Usul al-Sunnah lil-Imam al-Humaydi, وَالتَّرَحُّمُ عَلَى أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كُلِّهِمْ. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he mentioned kullihim, every single one of them. And this word, kullihim, all of them, is a key word that should be underlined. As you're going to come on to understand later, how some of the people of innovation, they hate certain sahabiyat or certain sahaba. Some of them hate certain individuals, and you have the other side of the spectrum who hate others. And how Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah are in the middle, which I'm going to come on to later inshallah ta'ala. طيب. So before I move on to anything, and before I mention the three things that are upon Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah to believe in, na'am, and it's from their creed when it comes to the issues of a sahaba. Who is a sahabi? That's what I want to explain. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that the Sahabi, هو من لقي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He is the one that met the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. مؤمنا به, he believed in him. ومات على الإسلام. He believed in the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he died upon الإسلام. And then he goes on to say, ولو تخللت الردة على الأصح. And I'll explain that later inshallah ta'ala. So the one that met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he believed in him. That takes out who? The one that met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but he didn't truly believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That takes out who? The kuffar. People like Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but he wasn't a believer. طيب. And likewise the munafiqeen. The munafiqeen, they made it look like to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that they believed in him, but they weren't true believers. They weren't true believers. Is that clear? And then died upon al-Islam. There is from those who apostated, people like Ibn Khattal, na'am, who became kuffar, and they are not considered to be sahabi. They don't keep their companionship. وَلَوْ تَخَلَّلَتِ الرِّدَّ عَلَى الْأَصَحِ. طيب, that ibarah means, and let me give an example, وَبِالْمِثَالِ يَتَّضِحُ الْمَقَالِ. طيب, you have now a sahabi who met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he believed in him. We say ابتداءً that this person is what? A sahabi, because he met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he believed in him. As time goes on, he apostates. He becomes a kafir. He disbelieves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then dies. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then dies. This man that was a sahabi then apostated, he's still alive. As time goes on, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dead. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes along. He is now the Khalifa to the Muslimin. He is now the leader of the Muslimin. He becomes a Muslim. Do we say that he now keeps his companionship after re-entering into Al-Islam? Who can give me an example? Of who? Huh? Huh? Ash'ath ibn Qais, Jazakallah khair. He was caught in the time of the Prophet Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he was brought as a captive. He was brought as a captive to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and then he re-entered into Al-Islam. When he re-entered into Al-Islam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he got him married off to one of his daughters. And Al Asah, even though there's ikhtilaf on the issue, any time you find in the books of fiqh Al Asah, based upon the correct opinion, which means based upon the correct opinion, it shows you that there's ikhtilaf on the issue. Naam, even though the correct stance is that he still keeps his companionship, and you find that the ulama, they still refer to Ash'ath ibn Qais as a sahabi radiallahu anhu. Is that clear, ikhwan? Whether this person sat with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a small period, or for a long period, وَمَنْ رَوَىٰ عَنْهُ أَوْ لَمْ يَرْوِي عَنْهُ, or even the one that narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or he never narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَنْ غَزَىٰ مَعَهُ أَوْ لَمْ يَغْزُوا مَعَهُ, or the one that performed the jihad with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the one that didn't, نعم, the one that saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even from far, one comes into the masjid, he sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaching, all the way to the other side of the masjid, he is still considered to be a sahabi. He is still considered to be a sahabi. طيب, even the one that wasn't able to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam li'aridin, due to a barrier. People like who? Ibn Maktum. Was he able to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? He wasn't able to see him, but he met him, he believed in him, and he died as a Sahabi. So looking and seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is not a mere condition. طيب? Because otherwise we would take out Ibn Maktum out of the equation. طيب, I was going to come on to that. A man lived at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he never met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What do we call him? In ulum al-hadith, you find in mustalah al-hadith, in the science of hadith, there is a tabaqa. There is a level between the sahabi and the tabi'in. The tabi'in is who? The one that never met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but met the sahaba and he believed in al-Islam. طيب, is the one that met the Sahaba and he believed in Islam and he died as a Muslim. There's a tabaqa in between the two called Al-Mukhadram. People like who? Uwais Al-Qarni, who was there at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but he didn't actually get the chance to meet him. So, Imam Abu Hatim al-Razi and also Abu Zur'at al-Razi, they mentioned, وَخَيْرَ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بَعْدَ نَبِيِّهَا أَبُو بَكْرِ الصِّدِّيقِ. And what did Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mention in his kitab, or in the lines of poetry that were ascribed to him? وَلِكُلِّهِمْ قَدْرٌ وَفَضْلٌ سَاطِعٌ. Every single one of them has shining excellence and a status. لَكِنَّمَا الصِّدِّيقُ مِنْهُمْ أَفْضَلُ. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the best of them. That shows you that the Sahaba يتفاضلون. The Sahaba, some of them are more virtuous than others. We can't say that all of the Sahaba are on one level or on one platform. There's from the Sahaba who are better than the others. And the best of them, بِالْإِجْمَاعِ, by the consensus of the ulama, unanimously agreed, was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Mentioned in the Quran, إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. And when they were in the cave, in Surah At-Tawbah, when they were in the cave, his friend, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his friend, لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ. Do not become sad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. when they thought that the mushrikeen were going to catch them. It came in some narrations that if he was to move his feet, the mushrikeen, they would have caught them. As for that story of eggs being there and a spider web having come out, that's from the narrations that are not authentic. بالمناسبه طيب ان الله سبحانه وتعالى mentioned what والذين جاءوا بالصدق والذي جاء بالصدق وصدق به اولئك هم المتقون. That ayah, والذي جاء بالصدق, the one that came of truthfulness, came down upon Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه. So the mere fact that he was mentioned in the Quran, كفى به شرفا, it is enough to show us the honor of Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه. نعم. And also that we shows us that the best of them was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Some narrations that we find in Sahih al-Bukhari. Abdullah ibn Umar, he mentioned, كُنَّا نُخَيَّرُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ فِي زَمْنِ نَبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. We used to choose between the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in his time while he was alive. وَنُخَيِّرُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ ثُمَّ عُمَرْ ثُمَّ عُثْمَانٍ. So we used to choose who? Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman. So this is in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The companions are speaking amongst them. They are choosing who to be the most virtuous. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And also a backbreaker now for the Rafida. A backbreaker for the Rafida. What do the Rafida say? The Shia, they say that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was hated by Ali. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was hated by Ali. And he didn't like him. He had things against him. He didn't ever want to be with him, and etc. This narration now that is found in Sahih al-Bukhari. أصح الكتاب بعد كتاب الله. The most authentic book after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His son, Muhammad al-Hanafiyya. Muhammad al-Hanafiyya. It was the son of Ali radiallahu anhu. He mentioned, سَأَلْتُ أَبِي أَيُّ النَّاسِ خَيْرٌ. I asked my father, who is the best of the people? فَقَالَ أَبُو بَكَرٌ. So he said, أَبَا بَكْرٍ. ثُمَّ قُلْتُ لَهُ مَنْ. Then after that I said to him, who comes after? He said, عُمَر. So then his son says, فَخَشِيتُ أَنْ يَقُولَ عُثْمَانٌ. I thought that he was going to say Uthman, so I said to my father Ali radiallahu anhu, Anta ya Abi, you, O father. So Ali radiallahu anhu replies back and he says, Ma ana illa rajulu min al muslimin. No, I am just a man like the rest of the Muslims. And the backbreaker is that the fact that Muhammad ibn al Hanafiyya, he wasn't born except after the Khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was born in the time of Umar. So if Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, sorry, if Ali radiallahu anhu really hated Abu Bakr and he had things against him in his heart, Abu Bakr is no longer here. You can let out everything that you have in your heart. And that's what a normal father would do. If he really, really had something in his heart, the closest people that he would tell would be who? His children. And there would be nothing to hide, especially if the person was dead. So he tells his son Muhammad al-Hanafiyya, in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, that the best of the people was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And if really Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was a mujrim, was a criminal, was someone that wasn't deserving to be the best of the people, why would Ali radiallahu anhu misguide his son or misguide the people, knowing that this narration is now going to get taken and be spread to the people? And there's a principle in our religion, لا يجوز تأخير البيان عن وقت الحاجة. It is not permissible to lengthen the clarification from its time. If you're asked a question, Ikhwani, about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is haram from the major sins to conceal and hide that knowledge. Except in one reason. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, مَنْ سُئِلَ عَنْ عِلْمٍ فَكَتَمَهُ أَلْجَمَهُ اللَّهُ بِلِجَامٍ مِنَ النَّارِ. Whoever's asked the question, whoever is asked the question, طيب, and he conceals it, he'll be bridled on Yawm Al-Qiyam with a bridle from the fire. You know the bridle that you put on a dog to keep his mouth shut? Huh? No, not to keep his mouth shut, to stop him from actually biting the people. Huh? They stick a bridle on his mouth. A bridle will be taken from the fire and stuck on your mouth because you kept silent when you was asked about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَىٰ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. Those that conceal after the clarification has been brought to them, and also the guidance, these people have been cursed, and the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon them. Except in one case, when you fear that if you was to now speak to certain people about a certain matter, due to their lack of understanding and due to them not being able to comprehend the matter, fearing that they are going to fall into that which is more worse, then in that case, you don't speak to them about this particular matter. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he chapter in the Sahih, Bab, من ترك بعض الاختيار مخافة أن يخسر على فهم بعض الناس فيقع في أشد منه. Whoever left off some issues, fearing that the people are going to fall into that which is worse because of their lack of comprehension, their lack of understanding. And there's a hadith for this, the hadith of Mu'ad ibn Jabal, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told him about the virtue of La ilaha illallah. So يعني he said to him, حق الله على العباد أن لا يشرك بالله شيئا. يعني حق الله سبحانه وتعالى على عباد أن يدخله في الجنة. If he doesn't associate partners of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, the right of Allah عز وجل is to enter the servant into the Jannah as long as he doesn't associate partners with him. So Mu'adh said to the Prophet, أفلا أخبر الناس, shall I not inform the people of this? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا فيتكلوا. They will become too reliant and too complacent. But Mu'ad ibn Jabr radiallahu anhu, he mentioned this before he died, fearing that he might fall into what? Concealing knowledge. Naam, so sometimes due to maybe some of the... Let me give an example now. You know the issues of jarh wa ta'deel. Do you not know what jarh wa ta'deel is? The criticizing and praising. This is one of the topics that the Shabab, mashallah ta'ala, they really, really like. When it comes to criticizing and when it comes to praising. If I know this individual now, if I was to explain some matters to him about the jarh wa ta'deel, I know after that he's going to put one and one together and it becomes two, he's going to start making tabdi' and takfir of fulan and alan. Am I going to tell this individual? There's people like that. You explain a few matters to him, khalas, he thinks that he's now the new imam of jarh wa ta'deel. Criticizing and praising. It's part of our religion to criticize and praise. The muhaddithin, when it comes to the ahadith, they criticize this guy in the chain of narration. They said this guy, su'ul hifd, he's got bad memorization. This guy, he's a liar. This guy, he's a dajjal. By the way, dajjal, yani it's from the terminologies that are used to show the biggest liar. The biggest liar when it comes to narrating. Not the guy with the Al-A'war Al-Kadab, the one-eyed liar. those that lived in the time of Imam Al-Bukhari, there wasn't a Dajjal then. He's coming at the end of time. So the whole point is what? That if I was to now maybe get some of these issues and explain to an individual, knowing that this guy is someone that is hasty, someone that is lacking basic understanding, I wouldn't come and explain this issue to him. I tell him, seek knowledge. Naam, learn the basics of your religion, then after that, inshallah ta'ala, you'll begin to understand. Today we have people running around saying what? Jarh mufassar muqaddam ala ta'adil. And I've got a whole article on this, on Marcus Sunnah website. One principle, this guy doesn't know basic principles of aqeedah and tawheed. He doesn't know the basic principles of aqeedah and tawheed. And he takes me out a principle from one of the last books that you study in, ilm al-hadith. So any guy, when, let's just say Adnan spoke about Sami, خلاص, we take Adnan's treatment straight away. He criticized, it takes precedence over the praise that I give Sami. For example, if this sheikh spoke about other straight away, and in reality the guy doesn't know basic how to say dahaba, ana wa anta wa anti wa antuma, he doesn't know how to say it, he's basically running around with this principle, and he doesn't even know the basics of ilm al-hadith. Where did I get this from? Someone explaining to him the whole issue of jarh wa ta'deel in what? 2 minutes. Brothers, there's volumes on the issues of jarh wa ta'deel. Volumes. One guy comes today in Britain who just recently started practicing and is running around with this principle. Making this guy an innovator, making this guy a mumayyah, making this guy, he's like this and he's like that. The whole point is that which I was basically trying to prove previously, that sometimes you wouldn't disclose some information to certain individuals fearing that they are going to fall into what? Which is more dangerous. And in this case, this guy is going to fall into what? Major sin. Ghiba. Backbiting. Using his tongue in an incorrect manner. And we know that one word that you might say might be the reason why you get chucked into the fire. إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ. A man, he says one word. مِنْ سَخَطِ اللَّهِ فَيَهْوِي بِهِ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ سَبْعِينَ خَرِيفًا. And because of this one word, he gets chucked into the fire 70 years. So in other words, you're trying to save this individual from him, what? Using his tongue in an incorrect manner. طيب. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he told Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, that the best of the people are who? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And also Ibn Abi Mulayk, he goes, سألتُ عائشة رضي الله عنها من كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مستخلفاً لو استخلفه. Who was the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم going to leave behind if he was going to appoint a Khalifa, a successor? She said what? Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه. Then who? Umar ibn al-Khattab. So this عائشة رضي الله عنها saying that the one that would be most deserving of the Khilafah would be Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه if he was to leave someone behind. Is that clear, Ikhwan? Then Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, the man that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about him, Wallahi, inna al-shaytana layakhafu mink. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shaytan fears you, O Umar. Ma laqiyaka al-shaytanu fajjun salikan fajja. Qattun salikan fajja illa salika fajjan ghayra fajjik. Never does shaytan see you taking a path except that he takes another path. Shaitan used to be scared of Umar. Frightened. Frightened of who? Umar ibn al-Khattab. Then after that who? Uthman ibn Affan. Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. And a quick story that I'll mention about Uthman ibn Affan, and inshallah ta'ala we're going to take the time out now to defend Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. Because there's many, many doubts about him, many doubts. The Rafid are going to come up to you and say to you, huh? Uthman ibn Affan, he ran away while there was war taking place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to this, is angry. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيتُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا زَحْفًا فَلَا تُوَلُّهُمُ الْأَدْبَارِ. O you who believe, when the enemy meets the other group, then do not run away. وَمَنْ يُوَلِّيهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ دُبْرَهُ إِلَّا مُتَحَرِّفًا لِقِتَالٍ أَوْ مُتَحَيِّزًا إِلَى فِئَةٍ فَقَدْ بَاءُ بِغَضَبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ. And whoever does that runs away. Do you know what I'm talking about, Adnan? Huh? The enemy have come. You have gone out for jihad. The Muslims are standing here and the kuffar are standing there and the war breaks out. You are not allowed to turn your back. You either fight till you die, or you fight till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends the war and He gives you a victory. Or the enemy allow you to go. It is from the major destructive sins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, اجتنبوا سبع المبقات. Stay away from the 7 destructive sins. From the things that he mentioned, at-tawalli yawm al-zahf, to run away when the two groups meet. Is that clear? So they'll come to you with doubts like this. Uthman ibn Affan, he didn't attend the best of the scenarios, the best of the occasions where the Muslimun, they attended. And we're going to explain all of that inshallah ta'ala now in one of the hadith. Uthman ibn Affan, na'am, There was a time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sitting inside his house. His thighs were uncovered. His thighs were uncovered. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he entered. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't do anything. Umar ibn al-Khattab entered. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do anything. So Uthman ibn Affan enters and he finds what? That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has now uncovered his thighs. Sorry, he's covered his thighs. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she says to him, Ya Rasulullah, why did you do this only when Uthman ibn Affan entered, but you didn't do this with Abu Bakr and Umar? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies back and he says, Ala astahi min rajulin tastahi minhu al-malaika. Shall I not be shy of the one that the malaika are shy from? So the malaika, they used to what? Be shy from Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. And brothers, I previously mentioned the importance of defending your brother. Can anyone tell me the hadith? What happens if you defend the honor of your brother? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Man dhabba an 'irdi akhihi," whoever defends the honor of his brother, "kana haqqan 'ala Allah an yu'tiqahu min an-nar." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a right upon himself to what? Protect him from the fire. Just you defending your brother, defending the shaykh, after he's been spoken about in an incorrect manner, and then spreading it to the people, defending the honor of the shaykh. This is something that is azim, that we tend to this day belittle and not take seriously, or look down upon. Let alone defending the honor of a sahabi al-jaleel, who was from the best of those that ever walked upon this earth. He was given glad tidings of Jannah while walking upon the face of the earth. So inshallah ta'ala, we hope by this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters us under the hadith of being from on Yawm al-Qiyamah from those that are protected from the fire. So Uthman ibn Mawhabin, he said, قَالَ جَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ مِسْرٍ حَجَّ الْبَيْتِ. So a man came from Egypt to perform the Hajj. فَرَأَى قَوْمًا جَلُوسًا فَرَأَى قَوْمًا جُلُوسًا. So he saw some people, they were sitting down. فَقَالَ مَنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ. Who are these people? فَقَالُوا هَؤُلَاءِ قُرَيْش. It was said to him that these people are from the Quraysh. قَالَ فَمَنَ الشَّيْخُ مِنْهُ فِيهِمْ. Who is the sheikh amongst them? قَالُوا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ عُمَرَ. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was from those that were sitting at the time. And he was the sheikh amongst them, the scholar, the faqih, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab. قَالَ يَا إِبْنَ عُمَرْ إِنِّي سَائِلُكَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ. So the man who has come from Egypt, he said to Abdullah ibn Umar, I want to ask you about a matter. So he replies back and he says, فَحَدِّثْنِي, tell me about it. هَلْ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّ عُثْمَانَ فَرَّ يَوْمَ أُحُدْ. Do you know that Uthman ibn Affan ran away in the battle of Uhud? Yani in other words, he committed a major sin. He ran away. The anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon him. As we mentioned the ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا زَحْفًا فَلَا تُوَلُّهُمُ الْأَدْبَارِ. What is upon a person to do is to be firm. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيْتُمْ فِيَةً فَثْبُتُوا. Surah Al-Anfal. Allah says, if you meet a group, yani in the state of jihad, and you're fighting, then be firm. It's a major sin, ikhwan. It's a dangerous matter to run away. You have the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ. And this person will end up in the fire. Major sin. From the seven destructive sins that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith that was narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. قَالَ نَعَمْ. So Abdullah ibn Umar, he says, نَعَمْ. قَالَ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ تَغَيَّبَ عَنْ بَدْرٍ وَلَمْ يَشْهَدْ. And do you know that he was absent when he came to the Battle of Badr? He wasn't there. The famous Battle of Badr. Naam, he wasn't there. It was the Badr, it was the battle where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَغَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ لَعَلَّ اللَّهُ اطَّلَعَ عَلَى أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَغَدْ غَفَرَ لَهُمْ. Is that clear, Ikhwan? So now Uthman ibn Affan has missed out on what the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to participating in the Battle of Badr. So Abdullah ibn Umar, he replies back and he said, he goes, Na'am, I know about this. قَالَ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ تَغَيَّبَ عَنْ بَيْعَةِ الرِّضْوَانِ. And you know that he was absent in the Bay'at al-Ridwan. He was absent in when the Sahaba, they gave Bay'ah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam under the tree. And at that time there was 1,400 Sahabi, companions, that gave Bay'ah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam under the tree that day.
Who was absent?
Uthman ibn Affan was absent. We'll come on to that, inshallah. So Uthman ibn Affan was absent. And there's a hadith that says what? لا يدخل النار إن شاء الله من أصحاب الشجرة الذين بايعوا تحتها. The hadith in Sahih Muslim عن أم مبشر رضي الله عنها. Anyone that gave bay'ah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam under that tree that day, inshallah, he won't enter into the fire. And that time there was 1,400 of the companions. And Uthman ibn Affan wasn't there. So how can we say now Uthman ibn Affan is better than Ali radiallahu anhu, when he missed out on some of the greatest occasions that took place in the history of Islam? We'll come on to that. The answers are all mentioned in the narration. Yeah, I mentioned that the man said to Abdullah ibn Umar, هل تعلم أنه فر يوم أحد? Do you know that Uthman ibn Affan ran away on the day of Uhud? Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, yes, I know about it. So how do we tackle some of these shubahat? The man then says, Allahu Akbar. قال ابن عمر تعال أبين لك. Come to me now, I'm going to explain to you. He says to him, أما فراره يوم أحد. As for the time when Uthman ibn Affan ran away on the day of Uhud. فَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَفَى عَنْهُ. I bear witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven him. A whole ayah came down. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوا مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَغَى الْجَمْعَانِ إِنَّمَا اسْتَزَلَّهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ بِبَعْضِ مَا كَسَبُوا وَلَقَدْ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. As for those that ran away the day when the two groups came together, due to the whisperings of the shaitan, وَلَقَدْ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what? He has forgiven them. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوا مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَ تَخَلْ جَمْعَانِ إِنَّمَا سَزَلَّهُمَ الشَّيْطَانُ بِعَزْمَا وَلَقَدْ عَفَى اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمُ. I think it's in Surah Al Imran, but I'll check for you, inshallah. Yeah? طيب. فَأَشْهَدُوا. So the first thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down an ayah, he was forgiven. وَأَمَّا تَغَيُّبُهُ عَنْ بَدْرٍ. As for his absence on or from the Battle of Badr, فَإِنَّهُ كَانَتْ تَحْتَهُ بِنْتُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَكَانَتْ مَرِيضَةً. Under him was the daughter of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and she was sick. فَقَالَ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So the Prophet said to him, إِنَّ لَكَ أَجْرَ رَجُلٍ مِمَّنْ شَهِدَ بَدْرًا وَسَهْمَهُ. You don't only get the reward of the one that takes part in Al-Badr, so you get the reward of Al-Badr, and likewise you get the reward of the Sahm, of you having killed someone, and the reward that comes out of it. So you get this, and you get that as well. Sahmahu can basically be translated as the reward of you killing someone, and also the reward that you might get from the war booty, etc. So what? Uthman ibn Affan, with him sitting at home, looking after the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without going through any hardship, any fighting, you going through any problems at all, you get the reward for both matters. وَأَمَّا تَغَيُّبُهُ عَنْ بَيْعَةِ الرِّضْوَانِ فَلَوْ كَانَ أَحَدٌ عَزَّ بِبَطْنِ مَكَّةٍ مِنْ عُثْمَانِ لَبَعَثُوا مَكَانَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent Uthman ibn Affan to Mecca. He sent Uthman ibn Affan to Mecca. So Abdullah ibn Umar, he mentions, if there was anyone who was more honorable than Uthman at that time, he would have sent that other person in the place of Uthman. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بيده اليمنى هذه يد عثمان فضرب بها على يده. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he got his right hand and he said that this is the hand of Uthman. And the Prophet صلى الله, when they were given bay'ah, when they were given bay'ah to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet got the hand of Uthman, and he got his hand with all the rest of the hands who were given bay'ah to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he said that this is the hand of Uthman, as if he was present. فقال له ابن عمر اذهب بها الآن معك. Now go back, you have the matters clarified to you. So do you understand now? So if the Rafidi comes up to you, Adnan, and he says to you that your Sahabi that you keep claiming to be from the third or the third best, na'am, from the companions, and he ran away on the day of Uhud, he committed a major sin. He committed one of the seven destructive sins. And the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon him. How can you say that Uthman is more better than Ali radiallahu anhu? Naam. And a whole ayah came down. Naam, naam, jay, jazakallah khair. Is that clear, ikhwan? طيب. Then you have Ali radiallahu anhu, who is the fourth best. You have Ali radiallahu anhu, who is the fourth best when it comes to the pecking order. When it comes to the pecking order.
Uthman sent for
the bay'ah with one.
I didn't hear the first bit.
Huh? What was
he sent for?
He was sent to Mecca.
He was sent to Mecca. Now, inshallah ta'ala, when we study the whole khisab of Uthman ibn Affan, we'll go into it because it's a long story. But at the moment, it's upon you to know how to maybe tackle the shubhat. How to tackle the shubhat. The fourth best is who? Ali radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, لِأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حِمَرَ النِّعَمِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides through you one person, it is better to you than any of the red camels. You know the BMWs that we have today, the Mercedes, the Rolls Royce, na'am? In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you had red camels. They were the best of what? The riding camel. They were very, very expensive. So that you guide one person, and he understands the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through you, O Ali, is better than red camels. Wallahi, ikhwan, you know we have something called sadaqatun jariya. Sadaqatun jariya that we all hear about, that we all try to strive and take part in. There's something called ujurun jariya, continuous reward. While you're in your grave, dead, some of the things that are going to benefit you is maybe a hadith that you learned, and you conveyed it to fulan, and he passed you on, and he passed you on. أو علم ينتفع به. إذا مات ابن آدم انقطع عمله. When ابن آدم, he dies, everything stops. Except what? Three things. What are the three things? صدقة جارية. علم ينتفع به. Knowledge that he left behind, whether it's books, whether it's lectures, whether it's audios, that is still being benefited from. Huh? And the third thing is what? ولد صالح. A righteous boy that he you left behind that is making dua for you. And wallahi, if you never taught your kid, if anything, what is going to curse you? And that goes back what to the ujurun jari that we're speaking about. If you don't teach your kid, you don't teach him the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, probably the moment that you die, he's gonna say, Alhamdulillah, that father is gone, he's not responsible of me anymore. He can't tell me what to do. I get all the money that he's left behind. Rather, before your death, they're making dua that you pass away as soon as possible. That's what? The rajulun talih, the waladun talih, the unrighteous or the misguided son that you left behind. And one of the biggest causes is what? You have not having taken the time out to teach him the basics of his religion. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ikhwan, he mentioned, "Ma min ahadin yastar'ihi la ra'iyyah, yamutu yawma yamut, wa huwa ghashun lahum illa haramallahu alaihi al-jannah." Never did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala place a responsibility upon you, and you don't fulfill that responsibility properly. That goes to every single father, every single father or mother, or anyone that has been given responsibility, and he doesn't apply it properly. And it came in some narrations, he dies as what? غَاشٌ لَهُمْ. Someone that has been deceptive, like a خَائِن, treacherous. And this person won't smell the Jannah. And it came in some narration, إِلَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. The Jannah has been made haram upon him. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِهِ. Wallahi, ikhwani, that which we're studying now is the Khulafa Rashidin. The 10 that have been given glad tidings of Al-Jannah. If we can't memorize these 10, billahi alaikum ikhwan, I saw a video on Facebook, I don't know if you saw it, in Saudi Arabia I think. A guy is going around with a camera, asking kids, tell me 5 football players' names. Tell me the names of 5 football players. He'll tell you Ronaldo, Messi, Fulan, Alan, Gaban. He wants to even say the 6th one. You've been only asked for 5, tell me just 5. Second question that comes, tell me 5 of the Sahaba. Very, very sorry to say, ikhwani, the kids, they did not know. Our kids today know what? About Peppa Pig. Do you know Peppa Pig? That the kids and the babies they love today. A khinzir, a pig. They know all the characters in that program, all the characters. The thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited. The kids are so attached to it. They know all the characters of Disneyland. What's her name again? Cinderella? The fairy godmother? All these other characters that they know it inside out. Tell them about Grand Theft Auto. Number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, the characters inside there, and it's very, very sorry to say they don't what? Asharatu Mubashirin. The 10 that have been given the glad tidings, our kids, they do not know this. Who's responsible for it? Who's responsible for it? The parent.